Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you are a visitor or guest or have not been here in the last few services, what you have sort of run into is a group of folks that are in the process of transformation. And it's not just us, it can happen to you as well. It's Romans, the 12th chapter, in the second verse, talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we started on a Wednesday night and spoke on Sundays, and now another Wednesday, and then here we are sort of wrapping some of this up. And last Sunday night, a week ago, there was a powerful demonstration of the Holy Ghost, just like tonight, actually. Wave after wave after wave of people plugging in to the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you that you can have that same kind of touch tonight and every night of the power of the transformation of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm going to read a few verses. I'm not going to speak long. I know we have a meeting with all of those involved in Wednesday night, and in fact, if you did not get a copy of the handout, the ushers can give you one, because we have talked about the lies that the enemy comes against us with and how to be more than a conqueror. The Bible says we are more than conquerors, and one of the ways to do this is to fight the enemy that's going to attack our mind and our heart, our emotions. And we've been looking through the word of the Lord. So let's thank the Lord for his word, and thank him for what he's doing. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless your word to our hearts and minds. We'll be quick to praise you and thank you. The name that's above every name, in Jesus' name, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The ushers have the handout. I don't know if you're here and you'd like to have one. It's the verses that we started with the lies, and we preached about it last Sunday morning, and then the Wednesday before that, and then last Wednesday night, and now apologize for sort of going over it for a while, but not because of the Word of God. I have said, and I believe, that what we have got to somehow get the word into our hearts and our minds, and we have got to memorize, we've got to pray the word, we've got to sing the word. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Paul said, I'm glad I talk in tongues more than you all, and yet that was not in the church. And so it is not. It's what we do at home. You know, in one sense, and I don't like to, you know, we understand sports. And I was talking to Brother Chuck and Sister Melissa tonight before service, and this is game day for us, if you will. This is the day that we come together corporately and we sing and worship and all of that. And yet, if you know, the football team only practices on game day, it's not going to be very good. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Brother James here is a welder, and if the only time he practices welding is the day he has to go qualify for an exam, he's going to be in trouble. You know, he's a welder by trade every day. I'm doing it every day, every several hours a day. And so the same is true with whether it's a sports motif or whether it's a athletics or whatever. Brother Shane came to me a few months ago or weeks ago and said, Pastor, I need to miss a meeting because I'm scheduled to run a half marathon. And that was awesome. And the first time he ever tried to run the half marathon, or the first time he ever tried to run, was the day he ran the half marathon, right? No. No. As a matter of fact, he said, I've been working at this and training at this and doing this. I hate to miss, but do you mind? I've invested, huh? Well, the same is true with us with the Word of God. If the only time I read the Bible is whenever it's here, and I understand that. In fact, I know Sheena told me their family life class is giving out cards and the verses and for you to memorize and things for you to do. Why? Because if we don't pray at home, if we don't read the Word at home, if I don't do anything except when I come here, I will not be strong as I need to be. I will not have the authority and power that I need to have. When we come here, we need to all be fully charged with the Holy Ghost, because we don't know who's going to come in that needs a dynamic touch of what should be flowing through us. You understand? And so it's not bad that we get recharged, but here it is, this transformation. So I want to go to Isaiah, and it's on down in your paper, and I'm not going to go through the last verses that talk about faith has got to be more than from the teeth out. In other words, the devil believes there is one God, the Bible says, and trembles at the sound of his name, but we've got to have more faith than even the enemy had. But here in Isaiah, it's sort of that second group of verses there, and I'm going to go through it quickly, because it, you can just read these. You can memorize these verses if you want, where the Lord told Israel, thou art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Wow, you could stop and preach right there. I'm so glad that the Lord chose me. Yeah. Amen. You know, when you think about how he opened the door and my family, and you say second generation, third generation, fourth, whatever it is, that I am so glad out of all the people in the neighborhood, out of all the people that could have, I'm glad the Lord chose me. In fact, in one place it says, you have not chosen God, God chose you. And so what a privilege that is. He said, the seed of Abraham, my friend, go ahead. And he said, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof. In other words, you know, most of us, we don't have the best pedigree. We were not called from the best, not many mighty are chosen, not many powerful, you know, and I realize that. And, you know, if you're looking for the hottest and greatest and the coolest church with the most, doctors and lawyers, and most of our churches won't have that, but we have people that have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that know how to tap in to the presence of Almighty God. It's not wrong to be a doctor. It's not bad to be a lawyer. We've got some of those here. But guess what? What's even greater than that is we have people that know how to touch the throne of God and know how to tap into the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, I called thee not from the chief, but thou art my servant. I have chosen thee. And what's that last phrase? I will not cast you away. Man, isn't that a powerful promise? The Lord's not going to use me and then throw me away. Man, that's exciting. Hey, you know, and so it doesn't matter where I've been and what I've done. The Lord's not done with me. Go ahead, next verse. Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's a power. Be not dismayed, you know, for I am your God. And if we've ever been in a world that has depression and anxiety and sadness and being dismayed and fear. Huh?
Yeah.
And what am I going to do? And what's going to happen? How am I going to? And here he said, don't be afraid. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Go on. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee, anybody that have been mad at you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, will uphold you with my hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad the hand of the Lord can hold your hand?
Yes.
And he says, fear not. Go on. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Now, why in the middle of all this would the Lord say, don't forget, you're a worm? Because I know most of us are going to face the accuser who's going to say, you don't,
right.
You don't deserve this. You don't, you're nothing.
Yes.
You haven't come from it. Huh? So he said, let's just nail this down right now. You're a worm, but I chose you.
Yeah.
I'm holding your hand.
Yeah.
You men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and I'm your redeemer. In other words, I'm going to change you. I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to be the one that's going to be there, even though you're not. You may not wonder why. Why God me? Why did you call me? Why did you? You know what? It doesn't matter. He did. He wants to fill us. He wants to use us. He wants to touch us. He wants to never leave us nor forsake us. And then he wants to transform us. And that's verse 15. That's what you've been feeling. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Everybody say that. A new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. That's an important word in that verse.
Yes.
A new sharp. Now the word new, you have blue letter on your Bible. Oh, okay, sorry. Let me go see if I've got it over here, if I can get it. A new, it's a Hebrew word. And let me punch it here and see what happens. I'm on it. Let's see. New means brand new. It's like it's used in Joshua where it's Kadesh. It means putting like new wine in old bottles. So he's basically saying, I'm going to give you a new something. It doesn't matter what you're, how you were raised, it doesn't matter what your DNA is, it doesn't matter if all your family has suffered from depression, if everybody in your family has been, you know, whatever. I'm telling you, a God that is able to take away all old things and make everything brand
new.
But you don't know what I've been, you don't know what I've done, you don't know how bad. I'm going to tell you, I know a God that's able to do a new thing. Oh, what a privilege it is to know a God that will do a new thing. The word sharp, you can punch that word, and it means karatz, Hebrew. You know what it means? Gold, a new golden threshing instrument having teeth. Now everybody say teeth.
Teeth.
Now that word in the Hebrew is only used two times in the Old Testament. It's piphia. It's used there, teeth. It's used one other time in the whole. And notice what it says. Thou shalt thresh the mountains. Isn't that powerful? You're going to take down every high thing that exalts itself. You shall make the hills like chaff. He said, I want to do something with you. And that is that I want to make you a new golden threshing instrument with teeth. And I want to send you out against all of the mountains that are going to try to come against individuals in this hour.
Think about it. Yeah.
So that you can show them and be a testimony to what the power of God is able to do against all of the mountains and the hills and the principalities that will come against somebody. And so you say, well, I don't understand why I'm fighting this, and I don't understand why I'm going through this, and I don't understand why. Because the enemy is trying to throw everything at you, and he wants you, God wants to use you to show the world that we can be a new golden threshing instrument with teeth. Pifisha. Pifia. I told you it's only used one other time in the Old Testament. That word with teeth is only used one other time. It's found in Psalms 149 chapter. And you can go through. In fact, I want to read the whole chapter. I know I just said the first six verses, but go through the ninth verse. Here's where that word teeth, pifia, is used. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. That's what we were doing around here.
Amen.
Praising the Lord.
Yes.
Why are you doing that? Because I'm becoming a new golden threshing instrument with teeth.
Amen.
With teeth. Let Israel rejoice in him that made it. In the congregation, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. So I come to church and I don't feel like praising the Lord. And I come to church and I don't feel like worshiping. And I come to church and I've been hit from one side, but I come in, start praising God. What are you doing, Lord? The Lord is transforming me into a new golden threshing instrument with teeth to attack every hill and every mountain. Go on, next verse. That's not where it's used yet. Let them praise his name in the dance. I don't feel like dancing, but I start praising. I start picking up my feet a little bit. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. And I'm still praising. And I'm still, you know, they're singing the song. Go on, next verse. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. What a privilege it is to know the Lord. What a privilege it is to feel the Lord. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. I go home and the Lord's given me a new song. And I sing a song in the midnight hour. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a teeth sword. That's that word. The only other place it's used, a two-edged sword in their hand. What are you saying? I'm telling you that when we get the word of God and we start using the word and we start quoting the word, there's something about it. It gives teeth to the fact that, you know what, devil? We're not going to let the enemy destroy us. I'm going to sing a praise and then I'm going to quote a verse. I'm going to sing a praise and then I'm going to quote a scripture. I'm going to praise the Lord and then I'm going to read a word. Why are you doing that? You know, because it puts teeth in my hand. It gives me that too. And you know, I mean, everybody here, it's on Sunday night, and you all know what Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse says. You know, the word of God is sharp and quick and quick, sharper than any two-edged. In Revelation, the 2nd chapter and the 12th verse talks about the angel of the Lord standing there with a two-edged sword. to execute vengeance. What are you saying? I am telling you that when you come into the house of the Lord, and like we have done tonight, I don't ever feel bad. Don't ever feel. And if you're here and you're fighting something, I will tell you, you know what? God can transform you just as you begin to praise and magnify the Lord. And as you start keeping that two-edged sword, you get a Bible verse and you use it and you say, you know what? I know the enemy's come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord's going to raise up a standard. I know that the enemy wants me to think that I'm nothing, not worthy, but Lord, I know I'm a worm, but Lord, somehow you made me worthy. You redeemed me. Oh, hallelujah. What am I doing? I am using the Word of God to defeat the spirits that try to rise up like a mountain that I can't cross. But you know what? Greater is He that is in me. Why am I using the Word? Why am I memorizing the Word? Because I want the Lord to make me. Let's read on this. I just want to finish this 149 and then I'm through. To execute vengeance on the heathen and punishments on the people. You don't, and we, our society has been rocked in the last 72 hours with people that have tried to take vengeance out on other people. And that's terrible. It's not godly. It's not the way God is. I want to tell you what executes judgment and vengeance on the people is when you are able to sing and rejoice and praise God, even though somebody has attacked you mentally, spiritually, emotionally. That's how you execute vengeance. You don't have to take a gun. We don't advocate that. You don't need to blow somebody away. I want to tell you, all you got to do whenever the enemy comes in is start saying, Lord, I'm so glad one day you called me out of darkness. I'm glad I'm not bound by that spirit that they're fighting. I'm glad I don't have a spirit of anger. I'm glad I don't have a spirit of whatever it is they have. I want you to know that executes vengeance, because that spirit that they have wants to be transmitted to you. And don't act like you've never noticed that. I mean, just drive down the road and have somebody throw a spirit at you with a sign. Huh? And have you ever felt that spirit? Ooh. Immediately. I don't even know who it is in that car. I don't even know what kind of day they've had. But you just threw something at me. That spirit came at me. What am I doing now? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Lord, it's obvious they need a blessing. It's obvious they need prayer. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to live my life like they're living their life. I'm so glad. What am I doing? I am blocking. I am destroying. I've got my teeth out. And I'm chewing up that spirit. I'm not going to let it defile me. I'm not going to let it get me. Unfortunately, what you saw in these last 72 hours were people that somehow let spirits get a hold of them to steal, kill, and destroy. That was the same spirit that they were so upset about, as a spirit that's the same one that came from the gates of hell, the spirit to kill and destroy. I want you to know God is greater than that. Go on, next verse. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Oh, hallelujah. You can bind everything that comes against you. It's hard, but you know what? You know, when the more that spirit comes, the more you rebuke it, the more you worship through it, the more you praise through it, it's wrapping a chain around it. It can't get you. And then look at the last verse, and I'm through. To execute upon them the judgment written. This, what's the word? Have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. What are we doing? We're singing. I know. Sorry, honey. Wears you out. You have to play for an hour and a half, 2 hours. But what are we doing? We're sending ambushments against the spirits that are coming against our home. Fear, anxiety, dismay. What am I doing? I'm singing my way. I'm executing. What are you doing that for? Because God is transforming me into a new golden threshing instrument having teeth. Let's stand. Hallelujah. If you've been battling the spirits, if you've been battling the enemy, if you've been battling fear and anxiety and frustration, addiction, whatever it is, it doesn't feel like this is the way to defeat it. It would not, it seems counterintuitive. How do you defeat that mountain with a new golden threshing instrument having teeth? Doesn't seem like it works. I want to tell you, it'll work. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. He'll give you, you can take the Word of God, use it. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, hallelujah. Let's come. Let's ask the Lord to give us some teeth tonight.
Yeah.
Harvest Fest. Meet me in the prayer room. Shake hands with someone. Greet all of